Hello and welcome to our first podcast, Autism Travel and Money. I'm CJ.
And I'm Dan.
I'm the mother. And you are?
The son.
All right. Well, this is the first one, so I thought we would just introduce ourselves. And hopefully as we go on, we will be able to invest in some higher quality equipment. But for now, we just have the phone. So, Dan, tell us about your love of travel.
So what I love about travel is that you get to do all types of attractions like shows, theme parks, and museums. Also, you get a huge amount of variety by traveling, and studies have shown that one key component to happiness is variety.
Oh, I didn't know that. So I guess as more introduction to ourselves, Dan, tell us a little bit about, I mean, you are a full person, but tell us a little bit about your autism, because this is an autism podcast.
So my autism usually affects how I am when I socialize with other people, how I do certain tasks, things like that.
Okay, yes. So there's a lot of topics we want to cover. I do on this podcast. One thing I would like to learn more about is investing, because something that has always been on my mind since Daniel was first notified, I guess, that he was on the autism spectrum was, okay, now how do we support a family? How do we give Daniel what you need and work and all that type of stuff? For a while, I was stay at home, so we were quite poor. And let's see, because I'm a teacher and your dad is a teacher's assistant, so it was we'll talk more about that in another episode, but yes, there was a lot of sacrifices, but it was so nice to be home with you. And then, so I want to learn more from our audience, hopefully, and we'll get lots of guest speakers who hopefully can help us and see what other families are doing to help with their financial lives and autism. But also, Dan, about, I guess, a year and a half ago, you said, for happiness, you want to travel the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you've got the best parents for that, because we met in Mexico, and your dad has traveled a lot. I've traveled over the world. So I was like, let's go. So we did. We did a lot of travels starting last March, I think. So, Dan, you prefer like theme parks. We did some museums and you look up some stuff, so that's cool. We got to see the Savannah College of Art and Design has a really cool experience. And now where do you want to go to college?
That college.
Yeah, I know, it worked. It was like Harry Potter with their special effects. So I'd never heard about that. You looked it up. You always find something. So tell us a little of some of your travel tips.
So, let's see. One of my tips is, assuming you're going to be in the passenger seat of whatever vehicle you're traveling in, make sure you have entertainment, whether it's video games, a fully charged phone with access to the internet, maybe even one of those portable DVD players so you can watch some movies or shows. Just something to keep you occupied while you're waiting to your destination, assuming you're in the passenger seat of the vehicle that's going to your destination.
Okay, how about, didn't you say you had some tips on, like, theme parks? Because you love theme parks.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Theme parks. Oh, yeah. So, for theme parks, I would recommend doing whatever attractions have the longest wait times to do that first. So, that way, with your trip, you'll be waiting less and less for all the attractions you want to do. One thing I've also heard from a YouTube video is to always go in the single rider lane if they have one, even if you're with someone, because being separated from your party might just be more worth it just to cut down on wait times, with the exception of maybe someone like a kid who can't go on a ride alone.
That's true. And why do you like theme parks so much?
I like theme parks because they can be really immersive or really fun. For example, I love me some family-friendly roller coasters going super fast. I love the thrill of that motion, having some wind in my face. And as for immersive rides, I love feeling like I'm transported to another world, like in the world of Harry Potter, for instance.
Yes. Now, in the past, you didn't like any theme park. You only liked Disney and Universal, who spend the big bucks on those 4D and more, what would you call, creative, what would you
immersive.
Call them? Immersive experiences. But now you've expanded to like more of the smaller coasters.
Like Busch Gardens.
Yes, the Mummy only goes how fast?
40 miles per hour. I do a roller coaster slower than that.
So, but you don't want to do the Mummy again?
Nope.
What was wrong with it?
The Mummy ride, I just found too fast.
Too fast. So 40 miles per hour was too fast. Yeah, okay. And so one thing we've done is, through different circumstances, and we'll talk about that in other episodes, we've gone to Florida a lot, to the Universal and Disney, but now we have a place there that is a split home with a mother-in-law suite and then a three-bedroom. And one reason I got it was in case, because I know you might want to live in Florida someday,
mm-hmm.
and it's near Disney, in case you live there or I live there, you can live in the mother-in-law suite by yourself, and the rest of us live in the three-bedroom, or you live in there and then a caretaker or something, or you rent out the three-bedroom and then you don't have to pay as much with the your lodging. But while we don't live there now, it is used as a short-term rental through Airbnb, and it's amazing, and that's a great way to invest and help with your autism family. So that's something we'll get into later too. And I love Airbnb now. It is really fun. Because we're travelers, this is like, wow, this is a great fit. We know what it's like staying in hotels. We've done plenty. We've only done a few Airbnbs, but now we know more about them. Especially because the family is five with a dog, and we had three cats, but one cat traveled with us. Now we're catless, so we're very sad about that. So the other thing I want to talk about on our first episode, because there's lots of things we can dive deeper into here, is you are 18, turned mm-hmm. 18
yeah.
in December. This year's been really tough, which we'll also go into that later and as much as you want, because I don't, you know, some of this is personal.
Uh-huh.
But one of our goals this year was for you to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that just happened. So
yes.
That's so exciting. So you work at a restaurant.
Seafood restaurant.
Seafood restaurant. Now, I have never heard you complain about the smell. Is you don't eat seafood. How's the smell doing?
Honestly, I found the smell is mostly tolerable. I think where it's hard for me to tolerate the smells is when I have to pour the sauce into cups. But otherwise, I'm able to tolerate the smells just fine. In fact, I even kind of like some of the smells, like of the shrimp. It's mostly the sauces, the smells I don't like. Everything else I can either tolerate or kind of enjoy the smell of.
And the sauces don't have seafood, so there's something else in there you don't like the smell of.
Well,
don't know.
Yeah, it seems to just mostly be the sauces I don't like. So.
Okay, the strong smells. Interesting. So you've learned, I mean, because you cooked before, so you're a very good cook and you cook for yourself. And we did HelloFresh, and
mm-hmm.
you were doing an amazing job. It was great. You would cook dinner for all of us, but then you realized you didn't like the multitasking part
yeah.
of doing it all at once. But now you are cooking for people when they make an order. You said you steam shrimp and do fish tacos.
Yeah.
Cool. And then they taught you how to cook. They taught you how to, I guess, clean.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you do?
Mostly just that, cooking, cleaning. Sometimes I have to fill up the cups of sauce because if we're running low on sauce. But it's mostly just cooking and cleaning.
All right. Very nice. Let's see. Your first week was training. And then it's been 2 weeks of work, which has only been 2 days a week for maybe 3 or 4 hours. So it hasn't
mm-hmm.
been a lot.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we had already signed up with the local organization that helps you with jobs and job skills. So this all kind of goes together, which is really nice. So you got your first paycheck on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So what did we do with it? Tell everybody.
So let's see. So I don't remember the percentages, but I do know that a good percentage is used for things that you want, but then the other are used for things like savings, funds for things like retirement, and I think there was like one more.
I think that was it, three. So I want it, now that I'm learning about investment, because we fell into real estate investment. Mm-hmm. I really like it. And I've always thought I want to help in your future. And that's kind of been my driving force. I wanted to set you up right, because my sister told me years ago to invest for your retirement while you're young. And I have now learned that if you do it from the ages of 22 to 32 and aggressively invest, you can make more than most people do their whole lifetimes investing in retirement. So I wanted you to start off right. So we Googled it, and it said, we'll have to look up the percentages too, and we would love comments on what we should be doing. Hopefully we're doing this right. 15% went to retirement. Mm-hmm. So that's good. We're going to set up something. Your job didn't have direct deposit, so I'm pretty sure they don't have a retirement fund for you, but we'll find your own. Mm-hmm. And then we did maybe 10% went into savings, so you have a savings account.
I remember 80% being like for things I want. Maybe it was a little lower than that, 75
or 80% were things you like. Yeah. So that was like you're spending money. Mm-hmm. And right now you don't have to buy food, you don't have to pay for lodging. I'm trying to work on that for the future. Mm-hmm. Because one of parents' biggest fears when they have a child with autism or an adult child with autism is what happens when I die. So that's one reason I'm trying to set it up that you have the support. So if you do continue on this type of work, you can have a housing, but you probably have to pay for food then. But anyways, you don't have to do that now, so it was just fun. So tell us what you bought.
So I'm using some of the money on singing classes, because one of my dream jobs is just any job I can do while traveling. I do enjoy singing, so I'm going to spend some money on singing classes. I'm going to save like around $2, maybe more if I have money left over for like treats. If there's a hard day of work, I can treat myself with some candy. And then the rest, as for right now, video games.
All right. And you spent it all already except for the video singing game classes? Money,
yeah. Except for singing classes. Still working on that.
All right. Oh, and the savings, we're going to make sure you have 3 to 6 months of income. Mm-hmm. So we always want to keep that up. But then the rest, what are you saving for?
Saving. So the savings are more for trips, like a trip to Japan.
Yeah, we're trying to save aggressively to go to Japan. I've been trying to save too. Honestly, that hasn't been going well, but I've written it down what I'm supposed to be putting in savings. Anyways, yes, we are never going to give financial advice, especially for me. I'm trying to turn it around. I'm listening to lots of bigger pockets and trying to work on my savings and not being so over leveraged. But you bought the video games and now you're already bored with them.
Yeah, the one reason why I want to become a traveler is because things like video games, movies, and shows, I've been finding hard to find ones that I like, because of like one thing that autistic people are good with is patterns, and after watching and playing so many for years, I've already noticed a pattern with them where it's hard for me to get invested in one. That's why I want to become a traveler.
Okay. And in the past, you loved movies, you loved all this, but now things have changed. Yes, I thought you were going to go right to college because you were always such a good student and following the rules, obviously. Mm-hmm. But about 9th, 10th grade, you started to let me know that you didn't really like school.
Yeah, I've really got fed up with school, especially classes like English and history, where I just got very, very bored with them. And, like, finding them super stressful and just, like, just didn't see the point of doing those type of classes.
And you saw a video on YouTube that told you that the American education system is
unfair.
And what did it say? What did it tell you?
I don't entirely remember. All I know is that it convinced me. Let's see. Definitely said something like having to work on education, how it's literally just a piece of paper, and saying how, like, and when it comes to valuing things, it really depends on what you value. Things that I value aren't similar things that what school systems seem to value, things like that. And also saying how you could die any day regardless of your education.
So I really hate this YouTuber who taught you that, because that's when you really started saying you didn't want to go to school, which really scared me, because school is what I know, and I'm a teacher. However, we've worked with it. We've tried different. We tried the school where you just work on your GED. We tried a different program at school, and it still was just not clicking. So we left the GED program. However, you are motivated to get the GED, which, for those who don't know, that's the high school equivalency. You take a test, and then you get a diploma through that.
Yeah.
So what motivates you to get the GED?
Mostly because I get to do it my way. I can take as many breaks as I want. All I have to do is just study and take a test. And even if I fail it, I'm allowed to take it over and over as many times as I want to. Unlike some tests in school where you only have to take them once a year, you're allowed to take these tests multiple times a year. The only amount of time you have to wait is just a month, and that's it.
Yes. But why do you want to get the GED?
Well, because seeing as how I only got $150 for working about 2 weeks of some labor, and also something Dad told me about when it comes to getting paid, I'm starting to see some benefits to having at least a GED to get some money, especially because, like, I know there might be a job that only requires a GED and might be able to pay double, triple, maybe even quadruple the amount just for having a GED, and maybe even a job that's less boring, less stressful, things like that. So my advice would be to, at the very least, try to get a GED, because you can, because the minimal requirement for getting a GED is just passing the test. You're allowed to study for them however you want, whether it's inside the GED program or outside of it. There's even, my brother even introduced me to a website of like an AI that can test you on these types of things. And of course, if that doesn't work, there's also maybe some videos you can find. I remember there being a song made to help me remember the name of every state and their capital in the USA. There might be other songs like that that can help you with the GED. There's just so many ways you can prepare yourself for the GED in so many ways that can be more fitting for you.
Now, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give parents a heart attack, because this hasn't been easy for me to let go of school. And some people will do fine in school the whole time, others not. So it depends. But the GED is an option. It's something you are motivated. We are at a happy place now because the school and all really wasn't working this year, your senior year. So I'm happy. You're happy. You're motivated. And I'm hoping our podcast, we will see what happens. We'll continue to see your work mm-hmm. life. Do you go on for some other education for, you know, certain job skills or whatnot? Now, we should say you're very smart, and mm-hmm. everyone has noticed that. And yeah. the teachers, everyone, you make your own videos. Certain things like math are easy for you.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I was a GED teacher. I took the practice GED, and I failed the math. Mm. So I wouldn't be able to get a GED. I would have to really study and learn that math. And you did, so you passed the, and so we're going to do the math next.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how you do on that part. But you did pass the
social studies.
And that's it so far.
Just social studies. Okay. Three more to go.
So we're going to try to do the rest. We're not trying to give advice to anyone on anything, just our own personal experiences. So yeah, we want to see where you go. We're going to talk about our travels, some of our tips. I've learned a lot about Airbnb tips. I can give those, and also hopefully talk to other families and people about how do you plan all this, how do you travel, because one thing I would love is for you to travel the world. However, I'm to be honest, I'm 52, so I'm kind of done traveling. I love it, and I'm kind of, we're at two different places now. I love world travel my whole life, and now suddenly I'm like, I just want to sit at home. So I want to find out how are ways you can travel and maybe have someone else with you or support, or how are ways we can do this, and maybe we could form a community of people with someone they know with autism, or they are on the spectrum. How can we support each other and travel and give tips? So those are my goals. What are your goals with the podcast?
My goals are seeing what can work best when it comes to autistic people and travel and finance, figuring out the best way of what can work for them or at least for me, because I know that not all autistic people are the same. But just trying to find out what works and what advice I can give to autistic people, because I know there's at least something similar with us, otherwise everyone would just be considered autistic.
Okay, I like it. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Please comment. Please let me know. We have an audience, us know. And if you want to be a guest, let us know. We're just starting out. Bye.
See ya.